Thank you very much, Rabbi Whiteman. It's always a privilege to come into these hallowed halls, I guess you would call them, where my own children were nenes, so hallowed, so brings back memories and an opportunity to express to Rabbi Whiteman and to everyone who's been here and continues to be here, a very special appreciation of all the wonderful work that you do. I wanted to share with you just a few thoughts this morning. You know, you talk about Menschlichkeit. What is that really? Really what it is a sensitivity. A sensitivity to the existence, which for some of us is difficult, to the feelings, to the special needs, and to the world of others, rather than just the focus on ourselves. There's a bizarre halacha in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Brocha says that when you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, Meshiv Mipnei HaKovod, it's questionable halacha today or not, but we answer someone in the middle of Kriya Shema because somebody said, Shalom Aleichem. A person is engaged in the most important endeavor that he possibly could be involved in. And that's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shomayim. What can be greater? What can be more important? That's the goal of everything that we're trying to impart to our students. And yet someone comes over, Shalom Aleichem. Meshivim b'pnei ha-kovod. We have to desist in the middle, stop in the middle of the kovod shomayim, of the kabbalas or malchus shomayim, just to answer a person. Because someone said to me, good morning. We learn, Chazal tell us, that if someone says good morning, and you don't respond, it's a me'ein gzela. You stole something from him. Sarah said to Avram, chamosi olecho. Chomos means I took something inappropriately from you. I owe you a response. We have deep and deeply sensitive and far-reaching responsibilities to be kind, to be sensitive, to consider the feelings, the emotions, the needs, the circumstances of everyone else. And I think it's that sensitivity Lizulas, to others, other than to ourselves, that really is the foundation, and that's what we really want to convey when we talk about Menschlichkeit. Truth is that the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah has very serious instructions for us as Mechanchim, Mechanchois. He says, Kishem Shehatalmud, and applies equally well to a Talmida and to a Mora. Kishem sha'atalmid chayiv lechabedes orav, just as a Talmud is obligated to give kovod to the Rav, to the Rebbe, kach horav tzorich lechabed es ha'talmid ulekorvoy. So to the Rav, must, he's obligated, not a chayiv, but he must give kovod, respect to the Talmud, and to be Makar of the Talmud. And he brings the Mishnah in Ovis. Yehich chvoid chavercho chovyolech kishaloch. And he brings also the Losha for the Talmidcho. It's a push, it's a feeling of respect that we have to have for every human being. And I think what the Rambam means with Tzorich is, if you want to have a Talmud, you want to have a Talmidah, the key is showing respect. And I'd like to explain that, because I think that's a key to influencing our students. You know, David HaMelech had a request. He said, Achas sho'alti me'eis Hashem, o'yisro avakesh. Shivti be'eis Hashem kol yimei chayai. He had one request in his life, to sit be'eis Hashem, lachzois benoyam Hashem ulevakir be'hicholoi. Just to bask in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech, about sitting be'eis Hashem, uttered the following words, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecho. Happy is the one who sits in your house. That's the ultimate happiness. That's what he wanted more than anything else in his life. The shayrish of the word ashrei is osher, aleph, shin, resh. I believe that the shayrish is ishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about oneself. And think about it for a moment. Pleasure is not equal to happiness, despite what our society out there is teaching us. In fact, pleasure seems to have an inverse relationship with happiness. And the reason is really very simple. Because when I'm dependent upon outside pleasures, it doesn't make me feel good about myself. It makes me feel bad about myself. I need this, I need that, I need the other thing. If not, I can't survive. Happiness is, I feel good about myself. I don't need anything from the outside. I feel valid. I feel worthy. I have meaning in my life. I have purpose in my life. Now, I would like to suggest that if we can allow and help and maybe be directly responsible for our students feeling good about themselves, then we have the greatest entree, the greatest influence on their hearts and their minds, because we are the sources of their happiness. And I think that's the pshat in respecting them. Respect is very validating. Why does my teacher respect me? Why does my teacher respect my questions? Why does my mother respect my feelings? Why do they respect my time and my space? Ah, I must be choshuv. That indirectly insinuates, and they discover on their own, wow, I must be worthy, I must be valid, I must be good, I must be choshuv, otherwise why are they showing me this respect? And I think that's the key to influence. I believe that respect for our students can have such a powerful influence. It can be life-altering, because we become the ultimate source of their true happiness. And unfortunately today, most of our students don't get too much respect anyplace else. And let's just leave it at that. I'd like to address what I think many people are feeling today. There's a lot of frustration. Our students are very distracted. The concentration span has gone from a half hour in my day to 15 minutes, to 10 minutes, to 5 minutes, to 3 minutes, to 30 seconds, or is that being too generous? And we all suffer from this. We all suffer from this. It's almost impossible today for people to concentrate. We all know why, we know what the problem is, and we don't have any real solutions for that problem. It's become a magefa throughout the world, and we have to face this problem. And sometimes because of that, it looks like it's time to give up, Cholila. What can we do? If I can't reach them, if they can't concentrate, if they can't hear what I'm saying, well, okay, they'll see my smile. Very nice, but I have to give some teichin as well. What am I going to do? Now, the truth of the matter is, the more interactive the learning experience is, the more that they will be able to concentrate. Because we all know that interactive experiences are much better than listening experiences. Because for listening experiences, I have practically no ability to concentrate. When I'm interactive, if it's interactive in the classroom, especially interactive with different people, a little here, a little there, it changes the whole atmosphere. But I would like to share another thought with you, which I think might be helpful. In the Haftarah for Bereishis, we read it a few weeks ago, the Novi Yeshaya speaks to the giants of his generation, the Yireyim Ushleimim. He calls them Shleimim B'midos. He calls them Yirei Hashem. He has the greatest accolades for the leaders of his generation. And then he comes to them with a taina. And he says, you didn't do enough to reach out to help others. Lahatzdikes hazulas. I think that's the lashon of the Mitzudas there. You didn't do enough. And it's a big taina. Then he says to them, Hashem chofetz leman tzidkoi yagdil Torah v'yadir. Hashem wants lagdil Torah v'yadir. And the Mitzudah says, Haloi ikar chefetz Hashem bochem lahatzdikes hazulas. This is the ikar that Hashem wants from you, to reach out to them, to guide them, to teach them, to inspire them, to lead them in the right direction. What is going on over here? These tzaddikim, these yoreim, these shleim b'midos, these tzaddikim that are the leaders of the generation, they're not reaching out to help that generation? How could it be? They know v'ahavta l'rechu kamoicho. They know v'ahavta s'Hashem lokecho she'ishem shumayim isayiv al yodcho. They know hechecho t'chir samisecho. They know arvus. They know kiddush Hashem. They know v'shinantum levonecho v'lemadatam o'isves b'neichem. They know. They know everything. How could they not be doing it? Can only be one reason. They look at it as it's impossible. We're living in a situation where we just can't handle it. We can't do it. It doesn't work. Nobody's listening. They don't have the capacity. It's lost. It's finished. It's all over. That glorious Masorah from Sinai that has survived for 3,300 years under the most adverse conditions. It stops right here. Nothing we can do about it. How could it be? Teretzius, they must have seen that it's impossible. Impossible! We did what we could, but we can't do. So then what's the Nabi saying to them? Hashem chofetz l'man tzidko ikechevetz Hashem bochem. I know that. I just can't do it. What are you telling me? And the answer is very simple. They were very motivated. They saw it as impossible. And they stopped. But if we know that this is what Hashem wants from us, if we know that Iker Chefetz Hashem Bochem, this is the most important thing that He wants from us. This is the greatest opportunity. This is the greatest calling. This is the greatest schus. This is a schus that will bring merit to myself and my family and my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and the Netzach Chesed La'alofim will pay me back for 2,000 generations. Iker Chefetz Hashem Bochem? All of a sudden, the impossible becomes possible. Now the situation is completely different. I look at that classroom with, I don't want to say how many students you have in a class, I have no idea, and maybe we'd rather not know. But anyway, you have, he looks at this classroom, we say, wow, the impossible is possible. They can concentrate. I can reach them. It can be done. Why? Because I know that this is my calling. I know that this is the Ika that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. I can only say to you people that what you're doing is, if those that are learning are holding up the world, then their future spouses are the key to everything. Shali v'shalochem shalo. Rabbi Aaron Kotler said, if not for Beis Yaakov, there would be no Lakewood today. And it's so true. And what you're doing now, the seeds you're planting, and especially in the younger years, in the most formative years, especially in the years where they're not as exposed, terribly, but not as exposed as they are when they go on into high school. We can do so much. We can implant so much. We can inspire so much. We can change their lives. If we know, number one, that we have to make them happy, through respect. Respect. When they ask a question, we take respect. It's a good question. When they have a feeling, it's an important feeling. When they want to share something, that's critical. When they have too much work, I respect their time and their space. That respect creates the feeling that you are making me happy and you become the most influential person in my life. Add to that the formula that I know that I'm doing that which is Iker Chefetz Hashem Bochem. There is nothing more important. There is nothing more. We are providing the support to those that are holding up the world. What could be more important than that? And I believe that that combination, those two together, can truly allow us to penetrate. They are reachable. They're all reachable. And let me share with you a perspective that I have. I wouldn't say everyone agrees with it, but I'm quite sure that it's correct. Today, in one level, in one way, it's easier to reach our Talmidim than ever before. I'll tell you why. Because years ago, people like, okay, life is not so nice, and we're not so happy, and but wait, we're waiting, you know, the day will come, maybe a little bit older, I'll get married, I'll have a family, I'll make a business, I'll make some money, I'll retire, and maybe, you know, they're always looking forward. That doesn't really come. Today, not necessarily by the ages that you teach, but the upper grades maybe, and certainly the high school, they've experienced things of the outside world. They know about the outside world beyond what our great-grandparents could ever imagine. And they see it in the snorkeling glicken. There's nothing there. Young people today are realizing that all of the pleasures of the world add up to nothing. And all of the fun that they're having leave them empty. And all of the food and the drink and whatever other pleasures they may have, when it's over, there's nothing to be left, there's nothing to be said, and it's very clear, and I think it's Kedai to make it clear to them. There's no such thing as a pleasant memory. It's a mistake. It's a memory of a pleasure, but it's not a pleasureful memory. I'm not feeling the pleasure now. It's gone, it's done, it's over. Okay, I have more, I've gone. What are you going to do? Not so when your life has meaning and purpose. And you can even show it to them. You do a chesed. Did a chesed for someone. Now, a year later, I think about that. It's not a memory of a pleasure. There's pleasure in that. Because I've elevated myself. I'm now a different person. I've reached a new level. I've created greater validation. Instead of a 2, I'm a 3 or a 4 or a 5, and I remain that way for the rest of my life. And I believe that that means that as difficult as it is, and as little as they concentrate, there's a certain receptivity that exists today, especially as they get older, that maybe they never had before. Because most dreams are being shattered. Their parents' dreams are certainly shattered by now. And they're beginning to see the world. The world's about what? You know what goes on in the world? This is a happy place. More money has spent on happiness in this world than anything else. And considering the suicide rates, and considering the substance abuse rates, and considering the rates that mental health professionals charge, you see it's not a happy place. And they know that. And we can let them know that. Gently. Not as forcefully as I'm saying it. So there's a lot of hope. We can do it. We can accomplish. This is Ike Chepetz Hashem Bochem. And if we'll show them that respect, and will make them feel good about themselves, will be zeichet to see such a level of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shomayim, such a level of appreciation of the fact that you are sharing with them substance and purpose and meaning in their lives, that I believe that will be so matzliach, and we can look forward to a generation where we can truly begin to see what Rabbi Yosef Eifshit says will precede the coming of the Mashiach. Umola ha'oretz deos Hashem, kemayim le'amachasim, hatzlocha rabba v'chol tuv.